B-Pod Studios.
Voluntary OTAs with the man who covers the Eagles. That story in today. Headline says, no limitations for Eagles QB Wentz in OTAs. He is Tim McManus. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline. Timmy, with the video shows, and Natalie said that the quarterback was dancing around like Fred Astaire. was that true in your view?
He definitely looked like his old self, or at least the closest we've seen to it in a really long time, Mike. And one of the obvious things was the fact that he didn't have that knee brace on, something that was really cumbersome for him that he really disliked. Dallas Goedert was saying in the locker room today that, you know, that Wentz has been pushing for them to get rid of it for a while. Finally, they have relented, thinking that, you know, the knee is good enough to go without that. And he's planning on not wearing it in game. So you could see that he was moving around more nimbly for sure. And then the other thing that you notice is that it was almost like there was a weight that was off of his shoulders, just the way that he was carrying himself on the field today, joking around with staff members and with, fellow teammates. Just the overall vibe, even at the podium, you could tell that he was like a lighter Carson Wentz, that there wasn't as much kind of weighing him down.
Okay. Now, a month ago, he comes out and says his back wasn't healed. So it comes as a surprise to a lot of people, your story today. And Peterson wouldn't talk about it before. He was kind of miffed about the questions about it. But today, Carson has no limitations. So what changed? And secondly, is this prudent to let him go? Because it's voluntary OTA, so I really need him dancing around there.
I think that they've obviously evaluated that if he is out here in this type of setting, and it's a non-contact setting, that they don't feel like he can he's at high risk of re-injuring that back. But I did find it interesting that when I asked both Doug Peterson and Wentz about it today, whether the bone was fully healed, because it was just on April 15th when I asked Wentz whether the bone was fully healed yet, and he said not yet. When I asked both of them today whether the bone had fully healed, neither of them offered a direct answer, just both saying, well, he's been cleared. You can see he's got no limitations, but they didn't say specifically and would not say directly whether that bone was healed or not, which leaves, I guess, still open to the question. Okay, well, you know, if we're talking contact, I mean, is he ready to go for all of that? That's something that they evaded today, but he's been cleared for the non-contact stuff for sure.
Okay. I understand they were working on some shorter routes today. Is that just because it was early, or are they going to make a special emphasis to throw shorter routes?
No, I wouldn't read too much into it. I think it's just kind of what they're working on today. So we didn't get to see those 60-yard bombs from Wentz to DeSean Jackson quite yet. But
we didn't see him.
But but Jackson was on the field and catching some balls from Wentz and a couple of 15-yard outs and working on the chemistry and all that kind of thing. It's a little strange seeing 10 back in Eagles green, to be honest with you. But he looked pretty good out there. And Peterson said that, and he was like smiling as he was, almost like he was surprised that Jackson was in the building really regularly during the lead up to this. So I think it's been all good signs for Jackson so far.
Okay. Who obviously Malcolm Jenkins is not there. Who else is not there?
All right. So there was a number of them that weren't here today, including the bookend offensive tackles, Lane Johnson, Jason Peters, Alshon Jeffery wasn't there. And as you said, Malcolm Jenkins. And then there was a handful of guys also that were working off to the side, not fully cleared yet to practice in full, and that includes Corey Clement, Ronald Darby, Rodney McLeod, and also your guy Miles Sanders was just in a visor today. So there's a handful of those guys that weren't ready to go.
All right, so what is the story on why the other guys weren't there?
Well, I think the Jenkins one is pretty clear. It's
yes.
Money. The contract situation, because he is here all the time, and this is really the first time that he has missed this portion or wasn't here even for the opening phases. And so when you look at it, he is ninth among safeties in average salary per year. And he probably sees some of these other safeties that got some lucrative deals in this offseason, compares himself to them, sees that this is a point of leverage for him where he's 31 years old and you got to strike when you can. And so I think that he's, he's putting a little bit of pressure by not attending on the organization, to give him a little bit more guaranteed money. His guaranteed money's out. The contract is up in 2020. And so he's probably looking for a little bit more guaranteed and to sweeten the deal a little bit so his veteran presence is felt here.
Yeah, I can understand from his viewpoint why he would do something like that. But it always, like, certain guys are in a status of leadership. It always rubs me the wrong way.
I get it. But, you know, and what makes his absence, I think, all the more felt is that he is always sort of that steady presence, that he is absolutely, you know, the kind of the captain of that defense. And certainly in the secondary, there's young guys that depend on his stewardship to make sure that they're in the right spots. And, you know, so this does leave a mark in that way. I mean, because that's what makes it all the more noticeable, because he's never not here. Mm-hmm. But I think that obviously he's also a businessman and knows that, you know, once you hit the other side of 30, mm-hmm. you got to make sure that you get it while you can. So he's just basically, I think, using that leverage to his advantage to try to get a little more money here.
All right. What about the bookend tackles? Have they earned the right to just blow off a voluntary OTA?
You know, I would say yes to that. Mm-hmm. I think that I wouldn't expect, you know, Lane Johnson, as an example, to be missing for all of the OTAs. And Peters, I think you just want to get him to the finish line, most importantly. So, you know, there's oftentimes, I think this time of year, we made a big deal a year or two ago when Fletcher Cox was missing and he ended up having just, you know, a crazy season on their way to a championship. So everything gets kind of highlighted this time of year because it's the only thing going on in the football realm. But just as long as they're here for the mini camps, and heading into training camp, you know, I don't think it's that big.
How did the first round pick look? Since obviously he's getting reps with Jason Peters not there, did he look okay?
Yeah, he looked fine. Looked like he knew what he was doing. And these guys aren't doing contact yet, but Dillard did have the opportunity of stepping into the starting left tackle spot. And so, from left to right, you had Andre Dillard at left tackle, Seumalo at guard, Jason Kelce at center. Brandon Brooks was not there, so you had. You had Vitae, actually, that was at the starting right guard spot, and then Jordan Mailata at right tackle. So it's pretty clear that they are cross-training Mailata. He was exclusively a left tackle last year, and that looks like that's going to be his spot as the backup right tackle this season, because Dillard is coming in, and they're exclusively training him at left tackle. But, yeah, I would say for the first day of OTAs, you know, he didn't trip over his feet. Seemed like he knew what he was doing with the rest of the group. So, yeah, I think it was fine for
Dillard. Tyrone really happy about that, the Mailata, that situation. He's a member of Club Tyrone, Mailata. He's got a certain fan.
There's a lot of people out there, man. The interest in how Mailata's been affected is pretty strong, actually, on the streets.
Yeah. How about the cornerbacks now, the Sidney Jones, Maddox types?
Right. So, basically, the entire secondary was missing today.
Mm-hmm.
Jenkins is, you know, holding our right. Call it what you want. He's absent. Ronnie McLeod is coming back from an injury. Ronald Darby, same for him, and Jalen Mills. And so you had Sidney Jones at one side and Rasul Douglas on the other, and then Sendejo and Sullivan as your safeties. And Jones looked healthy, which is obviously the key for him. I thought maybe a little bit bigger. The athleticism was showing off today, and the defense, especially early on, was getting the better of the first team offense, and that includes obviously in the secondary those guys were holding down the fort. So I would say that, you know, the signs were good for Jones to start out. As we all know, keeping him healthy and him being able to stay on the field is the number one thing for him. Still a long way to go before we determine that.
And of course, the new backup, newly anointed Sud. How did Sud look?
I thought he looked all right. You know, you definitely see. You know, with Nick Foles not being there, there's just no real veteran experience behind mm-hmm. Carson Wentz. And you kind of like feel like this, you know, tightrope type of situation, high wire act where, you know, if Wentz falls, you know, the guys behind him, Sudfeld has 25 career snaps in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Thorson's behind him. You know, and we'll see, you know, who ends up winning that number three job. But I thought that Sudfeld, he feels like he's made some significant strides since he came in. And I would say that he looks the part mostly. And he had a couple nice throws today. But man, I mean, there's just a noticeable lack of you know, at least experience behind Wentz, man.
Okay. All right. Anything else that was notable that we should know about? Defensive line, anything pop out?
It's kind of like with the lines, it's really hard to gauge, I think, on the first day and in these kind of settings, because who are they really going against? And there's no kind of contact. for who should be penetrating. You know, one thing is oftentimes like these smaller running backs seem to like they stand out in these kind of settings, like like Pumphrey. I saw him like Donnell Pumphrey a couple times today. I was like, all right, he looks okay.
Uh-huh.
But you have to take it all with a grain of salt because oftentimes those guys, once the pads come on, can disappear on you. But I thought that it was at least a promising debut for a guy who has an uphill climb.